As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie here on WIP. All right, so Ray Dittinger in a moment. Let me just tell you how wild this draft is. There is no consensus on anything. So just as a for instance, let me tell you some of the mock drafts here. As the great horse racing would say, they're coming down the stretch. Who was that, Dave Johnson? Was that horse racing
guy? I believe that is actually his
down
name.
Down the stretch they come. All right, guys, we got the draft in 12 hours and 17 minutes. So Mel's final mock draft, Mel Kiper, he's got the Eagles taking Jahad Campbell. Matt Miller from ESPN, he's got the Eagles taking Kenneth Grant, the defensive tackle from Michigan. Todd McShay's final mock draft, he's got the Eagles taking what's considered the third tight end in the draft, Mason Taylor, tight end from LSU. We got Peter Schrager, what he's hearing mock draft. He's got the Eagles taking the cornerback Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky. Obviously, that would be like, whoa, let's load up on this position and lock it in for years until you have to pay a corner. So, no consensus. Honest to God, there's probably anywhere between 20 to 30 players the Eagles could get with their first pick. Between moving up into the 20s, moving back deeper into the 30s, or just staying where they are at 32. Wide swath of guys to choose from. That's part of what makes it tricky when you pick 32. That's why we go to the Diddy. He's not in the war room right now, but he thinks like a general manager. The general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
Good, Joe. How are you
Ray,
doing?
Ray, why didn't they ever hire you? I mean, why, Ray, were your talents wasted on the outside? Should have been in there.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people ask me about that. And it's very funny over the years, whenever the Eagles would go off the rails, you know, and they'd go into a stretch where they were just really bad,
right,
like bottom of the barrel, a movement would start afoot. And it usually started at WIP. Why don't the Eagles hire Ray Dittinger to be general manager? No one ever said this when the things were going well.
That's true.
But when, you know, when they were, you know, a chalk outline of a body laying on the sidewalk, that's when everybody all of a sudden started calling for me.
Sure.
I'm perfectly happy doing what I did over the years. But I do enjoy being the amateur armchair general manager on draft day. And this figures to be a very lively one for the reasons that you just said, is that there is no consensus out there. Everybody has different ideas of where they're going to go. I mean, you just rattled it off. It's not even like we're talking about the same position. I mean, some people are talking about tight ends. Yep. Some people are talking about cornerbacks. Some people are talking about safeties, edge rushers, tackles. It's all over the place. But if there's good news to this, the bottom line is everybody you just mentioned is a really good player. I don't know that there's a wrong answer there. I mean, those are all good players, but somewhere along the line tonight, the Eagles are going to have to make a decision.
No question. So, Ray, let's get to that. Let's start with this, because we'll break it down with all these dudes, but let me just start with this. When we go to bed tonight, give us three players that if the Eagles end up with them, reasonable, not guys that are going to go in the top 10, but reasonable to get, three guys that you think if the Eagles get one of these three, people should be very happy?
Well, I mean, when I talked last time I talked to you, I told you at that time I was like super high on Mike Green, the pass rusher from Marshall.
Yep.
Now, when I had that conversation with you, I was unaware of all the off the field stuff. I was just basing it. I was just basing it on what I saw on tape.
Sure.
And what I felt then and what I feel today is the same. In terms of a pass rusher, just a pure off the corner pass rusher, he's the best in the draft. He's number one. I mean, if you just look at the tape and what you're looking for is an edge rusher who's going to get to the quarterback, Mike Green is your guy. Now, and that was what I said the last time I spoke to you about that. And then I began getting all these emails from people saying, "Aren't you aware of all the allegations?"
Sure.
And all the and then all of a sudden, then I started researching it, and then I found out what there was there. Now, he's never been charged with anything formally. It still falls under the heading of allegations. But we know how the Eagles feel about that stuff. Howie was pretty clear about it at his press conference. So I would say probably he's unlikely for the Eagles. But I will tell you, I still feel as a player, I still feel the same way I felt back then. As a pass rusher, he's going to be an impact player in this league like right away. He really is. But I don't think he's going to be in play for the Eagles tonight. Maybe, but I would doubt it. So you say three.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start at the University of Georgia. It seems where all decisions start for this team, and that's not a bad thing. I'll give you two players out of there that I like very much. I like Jalen Walker, who he's a mystery man in this draft.
So many questions about him.
Yeah, part of the problem is nobody knows what he is.
Yeah,
you know, and scouts and general managers don't like that. They want to know, is he a linebacker or is he an edge rusher?
That's the thing, Ray. This new position, this new concept of the off-ball inside linebacker who can also get up on the line of scrimmage and be an edge guy, this idea, then you've got permutations off of that. You've got guys who can do that, but then they're more credible as a coverage linebacker,
right,
as compared to an edge rusher. So you've got all like different amounts of expert ability in different vicinities of this new job description that is be an off-ball coverage type linebacker who can also go beat an offensive tackle with your pass rush moves. This is crazy town. Like this is an area that was there weren't players like this when I was playing. So it really is like uncharted territory. I have no idea what Vic Fangio basically who he thinks will fit best into his schemes. Who do you think, Ray? You say you love Jalen Walker, and you know Georgia does matter. Jalen Walker being so well rounded, it does feel like you will always have a place for a guy who can do as much as he can.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, he was an edge rusher a couple of years ago. This year they moved him to the off-ball linebacker. And for the early part of the season, I saw a little bit of an adjustment. If you look at his tape early versus his tape late, he got much better the year went along. Because the change that you make is you're taking a guy off the line and you're asking him to play the game in space. And you're asking, all the angles are changing. He's going to have to make tackles in space, which he didn't have to make before. It's a whole different game. And it took him not a long time, but it took him a little bit before he got comfortable with it. But once he did, ooh, boy, he was good. You know, he's 6'1", he's 245, which some people would describe as a tweener. I don't know that he fits in every scheme's defense. He would in mine, because everywhere you put him, all he does is make plays for you. This is what makes him a very problematic kind of projection for the personnel people, because I have seen him in some mock drafts go as high as 7th or 8th overall.
Wow.
I've seen other mock drafts that have him going in the 20s, which would put him within easy reach of the Eagles for a trade-up.
Yeah.
But I mean, to talk about a guy who moved from edge rusher to linebacker this year, and over the course of the year, he won the Butkus Award as the nation's outstanding linebacker.
Yeah, how about that?
In his first year at the position. So, and he looks like a guy who's very smart. He's always in the right spot. and plays incredibly hard, like a lot of the Georgia guys do.
And the leadership and what you hear, what you read about on the draft profiles is like his leadership is legendary in the halls of Georgia football.
Kind of the way N'Kobe was. People talked about N'Kobe that way.
Yes, very much so. Very much, and apparently, like N'Kobe Dean did at the combine, just knocked it out of the park in terms of the interviews. When the personnel guys and the GMs and the coaches got these guys in a room and began talking to them, I mean, he was so impressive that people just fell in love with the guy. In much the same way they did with N'Kobe Dean. It very much is a Georgia thing. Those are the kind of kids they recruit. That's the way they develop them. And listen, University of Georgia helped the Eagles just win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I will throw him out there first. And when I went on NBC this week, they asked me to pick a guy, and he was my pick because I just think he's solid, and I just don't think you can go wrong with him. The other guy that to answer Joe's question, if you can feel good about, again, I'm going to go to Georgia, Malachi Starks. I thought he was the best safety in this draft. I think he's not. For one thing, safeties don't tend to get drafted very high. And I mean, even like a guy like Kyle Hamilton dropped way farther than he should have. And Starks is probably going to drop a little bit tonight because when he went to the combine and ran, he ran slower than people thought. And a lot of people are downgrading him. So he probably went from a guy that could have gone in the late teens to a guy that's probably going to be going somewhere in the mid-20s tonight. But he's a guy that's going to come in and be an immediate plug-and-play guy. I mean, and he can play the safety position. He can play the two deep. He can play the one high. If teams go to spread formations, he can play man-for-man almost like a corner. He's extremely versatile and really tough and always plays well and especially plays well in big games, which I like a lot. So my third guy to get away from Athens, Georgia, and go somewhere else, I'm going to say Walter Nolan, whose name you've probably heard a lot in the last week or so, and yep. For good reason. He's 6'3 and a half, almost 6'4. He weighs just on the edge of 300 pounds. He was so much better this year than he had been before. I mean, he was a good player. He was a real prospect when you saw him play at Texas A&M. But he was inconsistent. I mean, you'd see a couple games where you'd say, wow, this guy's really something. And then a couple games where he was, eh. This year he went to Ole Miss, and that wasn't the case. This year at Ole Miss, he was balling every week. And you see that kind of growth in a guy's game and in his preparation and his intensity level. And that's really impressive. And in the SEC, if you talked about interior defensive linemen, and SEC is a very high level of football, and you talk about interior defensive linemen, he led all interior defensive linemen in the SEC in both quarterback pressures and tackles for loss. Hmm. So he's a guy that's extremely quick off the ball. You absolutely had to double-team him. That's what teams are trying to do, and he was still wrecking games. You put him next to Jalen Carter, who are you going to block? I mean, you're going to have to double somebody, and if teams based on track record now, they're going to start off, they're going to block Jalen Carter, they're going to double him. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to put Walter Nolan one-on-one a lot, and based on what I've seen now, he could be very, very dangerous in that role.
Yeah, I love Walter Nolan, too. I think they could trade up, if he's sitting there at, 25 or 26, they might make that move. So, Ray, you say you like Malachi Starks the most out of all the safeties, including Nick Emmanuori, the safety out of South Carolina? Or is that you like him the most out of the safeties that you think will be around at 32?
Oh no, I like him that much.
Wow.
I like him that much. The South Carolina kid is very impressive, and is if you're just going on sheer athletic ability, boy, he looks the part, and he can really run. I just don't know that he's as
good a football player.
Yeah, I mean, I know he tested great, and he's a very good player. But honestly, among my safeties, he was third.
Who's second?
I had Xavier Watts.
Wow.
I had Xavier Watts at Notre Dame because he has one quality that I just love in a safety. He's around the football, and he's a playmaker.
Yeah. Well, this is awesome.
Last two years, led all defensive backs in interceptions and passes broken up. He's around the football.
Productive.
And that's what you need. You need a guy that has that radar. If you're looking for a safety, you need a guy that has that radar that can find the football. And let's face it, I mean, without Gardner Johnson, Gardner Johnson was a playmaker. And he, you know, and he got you turnovers. He got you takeaways. And you're going to have to replace those. You're going to have to find them somewhere. And, you know, Starks is a really good player, and he'll get you some. But Watts, if you're talking about who's the next guy, I would say Watts because he has the ability, and he, when he gets to a ball, he catches it. He doesn't knock it down. He catches it. So he would be, right now, he would be my number two in the safety position. But all those guys are really good. Everything you're hearing, if you talk to people around the league who seem to have a sense of what's going on, their feeling is the Eagles are very high on Nolan. I can understand that because the idea of putting him next to Carter, boy, I mean, the Eagles would be a very impressive front. The one trend that I've noticed, and I don't know how much this is influencing the Eagles' thinking, but I know it's influencing some people around the league, is it's hard, I think for the reasons that you said earlier, John, teams are finding it hard to judge edge rushers because they don't exactly know what they are. They're sort of inventing this position on the fly. And when you do that, you make mistakes. And you get seduced by guys' individual workouts. You get seduced by their 40 times. And you project them as athletes as opposed to necessarily where they're going to fit in your defense. And if you can swing and miss big on an edge rusher. And all, you just go back over some recent drafts and look at guys who fall under that job description, edge rushers. And look at, you know, Lucas Van Ness, Kayon Thibodeau, Chase Young, Cleland Farrell, Solomon Thomas, even Derek Barnett. You know, guys that were what you drafted to be edge rushers and what you thought that they were going to be fell short because you're still trying to figure out what that position is. So I think that's what makes people maybe a little bit leery of drafting guys in the edge. They're going to do it because you need those players, but it's easy to miss there. I think it's harder to miss on a defensive tackle because those roles and what you're going to ask those guys to do, is a, you have a much clearer picture of what you're looking for. So sometimes, if you're just talking defensive line, and I really do think the Eagles are looking defensive line, and they should, sometimes it's safer to go with the inside player than it is to take the guy on the edge, because there's less unknown.
Ray Dittinger with us here. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia on this very busy Thursday morning draft, and obviously a lot with the Phillies as well, as we broadcast from the Tasty Cake studio. Wonderful to have you with us. Wonderful to have Ray with us. Ray, I want to go just give you side-by-side names. And you tell us, if these two players are available, who you would take. I'm going to give you three different case studies here. The first is the cornerback Maxwell Hairston versus the defensive tackle Kenneth Grant from Michigan. Which would you take?
Oh, that's a real good one. Because to me, those two guys are, if you're looking at overall value, they're very comparable.
In completely different ways,
absolutely.
Completely different positions.
That's right.
Exactly.
And by the way, trade down is not an acceptable answer.
No.
I'm playing around.
No. I really like Kenneth Grant. I do. I really like Kenneth Grant. I think that he's probably going to be underdrafted because there's been so much attention paid to Mason Graham, who plays next to him at Michigan. But every time I saw Kenneth Grant play, to me, he and Graham are kind of like very close. I mean, most people in their grades have Graham very, very high, and they should because he is a good player. And they have Grant significantly lower. I would have them much closer. I think they were very comparable kinds of players. So if the way you offer that up to me, I would probably take Grant. And I think the Eagles, to me, could they go corner? Yeah, they could. I mean, they could go. Could they go safety? Sure, they could. I mean, because they have needs there. I mean, you got to replace Slay. You got to place Gardner Johnson. But I think with this defense and with this coach especially, it all begins on the line. It really does. It begins on the defensive line. Hell, that's what won the Super Bowl for you. So and you've had significant losses up there. And while there's probably a temptation when you look at this and you look at the quality of the defensive linemen in this draft, there's probably going to be some sentiment in the room tonight that are going to say, you know, listen, there are a lot of really good defensive linemen here. You know, we can, and with all the picks that we have, 20 over the next 2 years, I mean, we can wheel and deal and get some defensive linemen. We don't necessarily have to jump for them in the first round, which maybe takes you to another place. But to me, if you have really good ones, and there are really good ones in this draft, both interior and on the edge, then I think that's where it starts with the Eagles. I'd be very surprised if they came away tonight with anything other than a defensive lineman.
Mm. All right, Ray, next grouping here. Which one would you take, Jahad Campbell or James Pierce Jr.?
Oh, Campbell. Campbell.
All right, and third one. You talked a lot about these two, but I'm curious if they're side-by-side, which you're picking. Walter Nolan or Malachi Starks?
I would probably take Nolan. I would probably take Nolan because the more I watched Nolan play, and I began projecting him as a pairing with Carter, I just thought that could be dynamite inside. It really could with those two guys. And listen, I just told you how much I like Starks.
Yep.
I think Starks is the best safety in the draft. But I think you can get a safety in the second round, maybe even a guy like Watts. But you're not going to get another player of the quality of Nolan in the second round. That's just not going to happen. And I'm going to be real curious to see where Nolan goes because I'm a little bit surprised at the split of opinion on him. There are some people that I've talked to that love him, and I'm sort of in that camp. I think he's really that good. But there are other people that just say, geez, the guy just moves around. I mean, he went to like a million different high schools. He's transferred colleges. And, you know, there's a little bit of a thing. Why can't he stay in one place if he's that good? I don't know. All I can tell you is the difference in his play from last year to this past season and the move that he made from A&M to Ole Miss and the way he played. Again, how consistent. He had some spectacular times at A&M just on his physical ability. But the consistency, which to me translates into maturity, that he showed this year at Ole Miss, to me put him up on that next tier. And listen, I think he could be a top 10 pick. I mean, there are some people that really like him that much. Hmm. I would think he's probably going to drop a little bit. I'd be surprised if he dropped. You know, John was talking about maybe sort of mid-20s. I don't know if he's going to get that far. If he's the guy the Eagles like, and I kind of think they do like him, they'll have to trade up. But they might not have to trade up that far, depending on how the board falls.
Ray, another guy who could very easily drop and is a Georgian is Mikel Williams. Just an unbelievable cookie-cutter size for a 4-3 edge rusher. But
right.
Nowhere close to the production. You know, so like the opposite of what you've been talking about. I think
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs.
Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I think a big reason why Howie Roseman has gotten so much better at drafting is he did away with looking at the standing broad jump numbers, and he started looking at the game tape and weighing that so much more than the vertical leap stuff at the combine. This guy, Mykel Williams, man, he's got every measurable you can imagine, but just never put it together on a field of play. So he's one of those guys who could fall. Like, he could go, based on the measurables, in the top 10, he could fall into the second round, third round. I don't know. That could be crazy. But is he a guy that you personally would target, especially because you can ask the Georgia guys, hey, what do you think of him? Or is he off your list because of the lack of just good football instincts?
The tape for this year was a little bit troubling. He was better last year than he was this year.
The thing,
he's 6'5", he's 270 pounds. He can really move. He's very fluid looking. But if that's the case, why did he only have 5 sacks this year? I think that when I talked to some people who have close ties to Georgia, what they said was, and this made sense when you went back and looked at the film again with this knowledge, was he played all year on a bad ankle. And the thing that a year ago that made him really good and caught your eye was his first step. I mean, when the ball was snapped, man, he was coming. And that first step was what made him special. This year, if what I'm hearing is true, he played all year on a bad ankle, didn't complain about it, didn't miss time. He went out there and played. But he's playing on a bad ankle, then that's going to compromise that first step, which took him from being like a 5-star player down to like a 3.5. So now you have to weigh that. You would assume that coming into camp next year, if whatever team drafts him, that he'll be back and he'll be healthy and he'll be
You'd
playing
also
more
assume
like he
that
did
that
here.
Would heal at some point too.
You would assume right? so. You would assume so. But I mean, that's what you're talking about with Williams. Oh, sure. Yeah. When I was looking at all these players, I absolutely looked at him because I was looking at all the Georgia guys. But I mean, if I don't see him. Look, he just based on the tape and just based on his sheer athletic ability, he will be a first round pick. And I'm going to be kind of curious to see where he goes because some teams could really love him and take him in the top 12. Other teams could kind of back away based on what they saw this year, and maybe he falls into the 20s. But if I'm the Eagles and I had a choice, let's say between if I'm looking at them on tiers for the Eagles, and I'm looking at the 3 Georgia guys, I would go Walker 1, Starks 2, Williams 3.
Mm-hmm.
Final thing here, Ray, and this is tremendous draft deep dive here. I'm just going to hop over to the Phils and ask you this one question. And I think this is the thing probably floating through a lot of people's minds right now. The last 2 weeks, because the question is what's going on with the Phils, so let's get to it in a different way. The last 2 weeks, blip on the radar screen in their quest to be a truly great elite contending team or a real sign of trouble that leads to genuine concern? Which is it?
I had questions about them coming into the season. So, you know, Glenn and I were out to dinner, like, just when the season was just getting ready to start. And we were talking. We were out with another couple. And Glenn and the other guy were talking about, you know, where the Phillies were going to finish this year. And Glenn and the other guy were, like, really excited about them. And, you know, said, I think they're going to win the division, and I think they have a real chance to go to the World Series. And I wasn't saying anything. and they said, well, you didn't say it. And I said, I don't see it. I really don't. Mm. And so we made a little bet. Glenn and I always love our bets.
Yep.
And so he said, okay, I'll give you an over-under on wins. And Glenn said, set it at 90. And Glenn said, I'm absolutely taking the over. And I said, I'm taking the under.
Wow.
Because I, you know, the bullpen scared me. I wasn't sure at this point how effective Nola would be. I didn't think he was going to be 0-5, but I wasn't sure that he was going to be all that. I wasn't sure what you were going to get out of Suarez. Sanchez looked good last year, but I don't know if he's long-term answer. Painter, yeah, they keep talking. He's going to be, well, okay, fine, but I haven't seen him. And they just had, they still have the same annoying holes in the lineup. They're still susceptible to these hot and cold streaks where, you know, all of a sudden they can't score runs. Defensively, I don't think they're very good. Everybody talks about them as this kind of, and Real Muto clearly is on the decline. So, you know, I just didn't see them as that good. And I thought the Mets were going to be good, and they are. I thought the Braves were going to be really good, and they're struggling like crazy. But I think they'll come on. I had my doubts about this team all along. Now, I don't think they're going to completely collapse. But if you asked me going into the season to rate the NL East, I would have told you I would have put both the Braves and the Mets ahead of the Phillies. So what they're going through right now isn't all that surprising, because a lot of the things that I worried about have kind of come to the fore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's true. For what people were concerned about, and this Romano guy's 10 times worse than any of us could have ever imagined.
They were putting a lot in him. They were really counting on him being the ninth inning guy. He had his issues, and it had been a while since he had been that guy. And I didn't expect him to be the disaster that he's been so far. But, I mean, that has certainly exacerbated the other problems. But there were other problems. And, I hope that they get it together. They do still have some really good players. But I just think top to bottom, my fear about this team is that they had their time. They had their chance. And it's passed. And they're now on that other side of the hill. And I hope I'm wrong about that, but you know, the struggles that they're having right now haven't been all that surprising to me.
Ray, love you. Unbelievable commentary. Enjoy the draft tonight. It's always a special night. Let's hope it's more like a Hertz than a Reger. You know what I'm saying? Let's hope Howie nails it. Ray, stay well, buddy. Always great having you on the program. Thank you, Ray.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, see you. Ray.
The Diddy. Ray Diddinger. Big day! Good morning to you. Draft day. 3 days, obviously, of draft coverage. NFL changed that a few years ago. Phil's obviously off today. They'll get back at it tomorrow. You wake up this morning with the Phillies. Ready for this? 5 games out of first place.
Eesh.
5 games out. Now, better news with the wild card, and you guys know my theory. I still think that they let too many teams in the playoffs. Phillies are a game and a half out of a wild card spot right now. So, you know, long way to go. With 130-something games left, yes, Phillies can make up that distance. But, but I do think the thing, and look, we will frankly talk more about it in other shows when it's not draft day, but I do think the main thing probably rattling through most people's minds right now about the last 2 weeks is it indicative of a real big problem, short and long term, or is it just a 2-week blip? Listen. It could go either way. I can't tell you I know the answer. I'm not sure. I know I'm deliberating. I know that I am long-term and short-term concerned about Trey Turner. I am short-term concerned about Alec Boehm and tend to think he probably won't have a long-term here. But I wish he did. I wish he played well enough that he would be the guy. I know that Aaron Nola has entered concern territory. Big time. I know that Romano just scares the hell out of me.
JT might just be cooked.
JT might just be cooked. Exactly right. On the flip side, look, you still have a tremendous starting rotation. If you have Sanchez, if you don't, then you still have a pretty good starting rotation, but a lesser than.
News on Sanchez yesterday. It seems like the team is not that concerned.
That is great news.
Great news.
Of course.
That's massive.
It is massive.
That's such a huge boost. Yeah. Let's take anything we can get here. That should be. No, seriously.
No, you're right. That's as a Phillies fan, let's take anything we can get.
Right.
Because, guys, if you have Wheeler and Lizardo and Sanchez, I'm not even getting to Nola. Wheeler, Lizardo, Sanchez, you should win a lot of games. But again,
he had the best pitch in all of baseball last year. That means a lot, and he's healthy.
I love how you say it like it's a definitive.
I know.
Yeah. Really?
Like, what?
Are we sure about that?
Is that an award? Yeah. Well,
I don't know that it was the best pitch in baseball. Right. Best changeup.
But it's a good changeup.
Throw a pitch that other people can't hit. So
Devin,
I like that.
Devin, gut feeling. Blip? Mm-hmm. 2-week blip? Not a big deal? Or genuine concern?
Genuine.
I was thinking of saying genuine.
Somewhere in the middle? I mean... when we just had Ray Dittinger on, he didn't really have a positive outlook on the Phillies.
No.
And I could see that being the reality. You know, their window has passed and they didn't capitalize when they should have.
Yeah.
I know everyone talks about the Diamondback series. I feel like 2022 was the year. I mean, you were in the friggin' World Series and you couldn't get it done. When
Up 2-1.
Up 2-1 against the Houston Astros, who at the time were the most dominant team in baseball. So I hope that's not the case. I'm trying to stay positive. It is a long season. If you remember June last year when the Phillies played the Mets in London, I think there were like double-digit wins up on the Mets in the division. So things can change. And I just hope the Phillies figure it out and get their act together.
Yeah. All right, look, you can weigh in on the Phillies. Obviously, the draft. We're going to have Ross Tucker on the program in about 10 minutes. Also, life advice with the Hammer next hour. James, I need help from you here. Advice from Seltzer.
Ooh.
So someone hit me up on Twitter after a photo was posted yesterday of us with Jason Kelce. He was in studio yesterday. Photograph made the rounds. And someone named Brandon replied and had just me featured and said, this is the ideal male physique for being an athlete. Now, he could be complimenting me.
Yeah, sure.
Or this could be that thing they call sarcasm. So, do I respond with a thanks or not?
I do think it'd be funny if you're like, thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brandon. You nailed it.
Really nice of you, man. Thank you.
The Hammer's
like, if you just went over the top and were like, dude, you made my day. I've really been working out. Well, and this was so nice of you. Like, put him in a box.
The problem is when you say things like, I'm a better athlete than Jack Fritz.
Well, I am, obviously.
Fritz. You say that.
Yeah, Bo Fritz.
That doesn't make it true.
Yeah, Bo Fritz.
You say
Jack Johnson.
It doesn't
Jackson,
mean it's
what am I trying
true.
To say?
He's sending
that's a
messages
singer, is Jack
like
Johnson.
That.
Is that what you're going for?
Jack Jackson. Sorry, I forgot he's Bo. I mean, look at Fritz. Fritz reminds me of Romano, an angsty teenager. I don't see it.
Do you want to do a side-by-side with Fritz?
And Romano? Not really.
No, you and Fritz.
I'll do a side-by-side on the athletic field, man. And kick that guy's ass.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
can we talk about the fit
that
today,
doesn't
though?
Make sense.
Are you wearing a vest?
Vest.
A vest?
Okay. Vest.
That's new. That's new, all right.
This is new. Fairfield, you sent this to me recently. This is a freebie.
The eyeglasses on the head, like sunglasses, is a weird move.
It's bad. I don't question that anymore.
You know what it is?
I just like don't even process it because I feel like it's such a common occurrence.
It's horrible, and it makes it so much easier to read, but it's horrible because I look like a dork.
You do.
I look horrible. It's horrendous. Let's go to the phones. Talk to Patrick in Tabernacle. Patrick.
So don't do it if
it's
horrible.
Yeah, but then otherwise, then I don't know where they are, and they break in my pocket, and blah, blah, blah. Patrick, good morning.
Hey, listen, John Ritchie, real quick.
Yeah.
What did Hendricks open with at Monterey?
Killing Floor.
My man. And he ripped that up.
It was like a wall
backwards.
Of sound.
Hey, what the
sounded hell? Sounded like six guitars up there.
Holy cow. Yeah,
and it's just him. I don't know how he did it. You know what? Eric Clapton said, I wish I could play that. Yep. I wish I could play Killing Floor, Howling Wolf's Killing Floor, the way Jimi Hendrix did at Monterey, but I'm not technically sound enough to do it.
That's a compliment.
Yeah. And listen, I don't know how all of you look at Joe, like with this YouTube thing. Joe, dude, when you go when you're talking about Richie, of course Richie doesn't spike. Of course Richie hands it to the, you know. And when you were talking about spiking the ball, like the visual, John. I don't know how you deal with it.
Man.
God bless you. Unbelievable. It's like just physically, it's. But anyhow,
Patrick, are you saying I'd spike the ball and tumble over and fall with bad coordination?
I'd
lose my balance on the spike.
Listen. I just don't know how Richie does it. Like honestly, across. Like,
no, that means a lot, actually, Patrick.
Sometimes it's
really hard.
I want you there, Patrick.
The ideal male physique for an athlete. We were told that. I mean, come on.
Hey, listen. I'm just saying, I'll be ready. The question is whether Fritz will be.
It's just not a question. He's athletically so superior to Jack Fritz.
All right, Patrick, what do you got on our not Philly, fighting Phils?
Listen, it's horrible that I'm trying to assess everything and, like, what I'm coming up with. I've heard some people say it. Like, it's still early. That's okay. I can put my hat on that. Yes, it's still early, you know, and I like to do the check-in, the Memorial Day check-in.
Yep.
So I look at the schedule coming up, and we kind of have a little bit of a friendly schedule. So I'm still on track with my check-in at Memorial Day, even though what's been going on is just, again, it's Groundhog Day over, you know, it's just the same thing to me. And I just don't know where we're going. But my big fear is just this, like in all sports, you have a window, with the exception of like Chiefs, like all the, you know, dynasties,
Patriots,
or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But the rest of us, all the rest of us have a window. And I'm still in on the team. They gave me my love for the game again, and I'm grateful for that. But like, dude, this window's closing on us.
I think it's a damn good call, Patrick. I think what you're saying. Listen,
really,
maybe the young guys extend it. You know, if Andrew Painter turns into one of the top five pitchers in baseball, not immediately, but if he turns into it, that extends it. But I get your point. I get it.
Listen, I'm upset. This is where I'm at too. I'm upset that Clemens got you know what, DFA'd. You know, and I'm like, this is where I'm at.
I liked him.
I'm worried about whether Clemens is playing up or not.
I know.
You know, just and the last.
That's bad. Thing is, he's the 26th guy on the roster.
But I liked him.
He's fine. He's redundant. He's another left-handed bat. Like just, he just. I like him
I'm
too.
I'm telling you, I felt confident with the guy. I'm just telling you.
I like him too. But he's listen, the 26th guy on the roster. That's where we're at.
I get it.
And the big thing, last thing, is there's no Flyers. Look, I've just taken my Flyer, and I'm in first with the Flyers above everything else. You know, like, and there's just nothing going on there, and I forget that, and it's. That's sad. That's for me is like because now's the time of year you're getting pumped up. You're going down to the game. You're like I'm fired up all day and just like it ain't there.
Patrick,
man.
You know what? This week was the 13th anniversary of that spectacular Flyers Penguins series from 2012, in which the Flyers Drew. You know had the 3-0 lead, ultimately won in Game Six. Drew had that incredible shift to start that Game Six.
Yeah.
You know he decked Crosby. This. I mean, I went back and watched that recently, and to feel the energy of 20,000 at the Wells Fargo Center losing their mind with excitement, and now to know, you know, it's an empty Wells Fargo Center. It's sad. It stinks.
And guess who's still playing hockey?
Crosby, yeah. Hey, Patrick, not as well as Ovechkin. Patrick, give me an answer, my man. A notable last. Eagles had the last pick tonight. Last.
This is crazy. Pete Maravich. Walking on the court playing pickup basketball game, says to his buddy, oof. I feel great. I just feel great. Drops dead.
So what's, give me the last, his last,
the last
time on the court?
His last words.
That's Pete Maravich's last words.
It's a dark one.
It is a dark one. Pistol Pete. Wow. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. He died.
Wow, Patrick, really bringing the mood up here today.
He had the heart attack on the court. He was young. He was in his 40s.
Oh, wow.
Pete Maravich, that was a sad thing.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he died very young. Very, very young.
He died on the court?
Well, I don't know if he was dead on the court, but he had the heart attack on the court.
Yeah, that's right. I'd never heard that. I just didn't know.
Very sad situation. Man. Late 1980s. Hey, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, which position do you think the Eagles will take with their first pick in the draft? A, defensive tackle. B, edge rusher. C, offensive lineman. D, safety. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's listen to Howie Roseman. He spoke, I think this was last week, if I remember, on a number of topics, one of which is how he approaches a draft and a first round. Now, Ross Tucker is going to join us in a moment, but listen to Howie a few days back about how he approaches a first round.
The way we go into looking in the draft is we always take worst case scenario and work back from that. And we got to be really comfortable with whatever is our worst case scenario, which will always entail getting a good player. There's never 32 first round grades on our board. We don't have 32 first round grades in this draft. So obviously it depends on how things go. You go through a lot of hypotheticals. You try to put yourself in any possible position so that you're ready to execute. Just even looking at last year, you know, the guys that we thought were most realistic being available at 22. We feel like we got fortunate to get one of the guys that we didn't have in a lot of the scenarios. So, luck plays a part in it. Obviously, everyone's looking at things differently. Everyone has a different vision for what they're looking for their team. Everyone has a different vision for the particular players that they're looking at. And you just hope that, kind of makes sense for your football team.
That's Howie. You know, the more I think about it, the more I wonder if he went out of his way to say we don't have 32 first-round grades. Was that strategic? Is there an advantage to be gained by other GMs thinking that he's thinking that, whether he is thinking that or not? I don't know. Just struck me as maybe a Howie Machiavellian. Let me throw this out there.
I don't think he was happy having anything extra out there, any extra information.
But it is extra information.
Everything he says is purposeful.
Yeah. I know, but remember, what would be the strategy there, James? Podcast somewhere else.
I know,
and he actually talked about it after the fact.
But he said it.
I didn't realize someone could chop up podcasts.
But this wasn't a podcast when he said it, right?
No, that one was a podcast.
He's lamenting the fact that someone took this and used it.
But they did. I don't think.
But he knows.
Yeah.
I don't think they did.
I listened. Like, the pod, it's not chopped up. Like, I really don't think it.
All right. Coming up in 1 minute, Ross Tucker, as we get ready for this draft tonight. Ross, in a minute.
You're ready to propose. And yes, it can be a bit intimidating shopping for the diamond. And that's why men all around the area will tell you, no matter what, you have to visit Benari Jewelers. They have a way of transforming intimidating into informative and confusion into crystal clarity. Here's how. The Benari team starts by putting you at ease, showing you every single thing you need to know about making that important purchase. How to evaluate the cut, color, and clarity. No hard sales, just education, putting you in the driver's seat. You'll feel like an expert browsing through the largest selection of diamonds. Not just any diamonds. These are hand-selected with only a few making the grade to become a Benari diamond. The others land at big box jewelers with high-pressure sales to move them along. With Benari diamonds, the value shines through, and you'll walk away with a superior diamond that she will love for years to come. Benari Jewelers, when ordinary won't do. Everything at Benari is extraordinary. Exton in Newtown Square, online at BenariJewelers.com.
All right, Ross Tucker, of course, at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter and both on the local and national stage, a football, let's give him expert. James, he deserves expert
at this point,
right?
I think he's an expert.
He has carved that out. He announces games for CBS. He's one of our own here at WIP, Mr. Ross Tucker. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy. Ross, I'm excited. I mean, this one was a slower build to a draft than we've ever had, in my opinion. And obviously, this isn't fever pitch the way some years are, like Carson at 2 and are they going to get Mariota or not? And, you know, some of those classics. But look, it's the NFL draft. We got a great football team. So, Ross, let me start with this, because we've talked about so many players, and we will with you. But an interesting tweet from Zach Berman recently, and I'll paraphrase instead of reading it. His point basically was people misidentify how Howie drafts sometimes, and they're focusing on what the Eagles need now. But the way Howie does it is actually what do they need 2 and 3 years from now to make sure the roster is ready for those moments. Do you think that's more in play than, you know, like we've been talking D-tackle, edge rusher, this guy and that guy, but should we broaden our scope to view it more through the prism of what they might need 2 years from now?
Yeah, I think you're always better off with the Eagles looking at it that way. I mean, if you think about it, they didn't really need Nolan Smith when they took him recently. They didn't need Juergens. I mean, Juergens, unless they knew he could play right guard, you know, he would have sat behind Kelce for 2 full years as a high second round pick. Landon Dickerson wasn't supposed to play that first year until Seumalo got hurt. So, you know, it's one of the reasons why the Eagles are better than these other franchises. You know, that watch what happens with all these other teams tonight, right? The amount of teams that they'll say until they're, you know, until they can't say it anymore, we don't chase need, you know, best player available. They are full of crap, man. I mean, oh my gosh, what a coincidence. You absolutely needed a corner, and that's the best player on your board. You can't believe he fell to you, blah, blah, blah. Most of the teams still take the best player available at the position where they need help the most. The Eagles do an excellent job of coming into the draft without really having a position where they have to have somebody. I mean, I know we talk a lot about D-tackle. I mean, they can go into games next year. Like, they could play tomorrow with Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Ajumma, and Thomas Booker. Or, oh, they need an edge rusher really so badly. Almost, like, we'll see who they take, but I wouldn't be surprised if Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt are the starters anyway. And then we'll see if they can get anything from Bryce Huff. They did get Uche as well as Ojulari. They could play a game. A lot of these teams need the draft picks from tonight and tomorrow to survive. The Eagles could go play anybody right now and probably beat their you-know-what.
Russ, how intentional was it that Howie divulged the number of first-round picks, that the first-round grades that the Eagles had on this first round? I thought that was interesting.
That it's less than 32. He didn't say a specific number, but less than 32.
Yeah, he said we don't have 32 first-round picks on this year's first round.
Right, so a couple things. Number one, no teams do, right? And in fact, this year, talking with some teams, this is as few as they have ever had. A lot of teams have that? 12 or 14.
Wow.
Some will say they have 18. I don't really know what that means, by the way. Like, there's going to be 32 guys.
I agree with you, Ross.
I promise those, 32 guys are going tonight, right? Like, so I promise you.
Those but here's, numbers, here, though, are incredibly low to me. You said 12 or 14?
Yeah. And true first-round grades. Like, wow. You know, where they think those guys are elite prospects.
Wow.
Here's the thing. If Howie did it intentionally, how much do you guys want to bet that whoever the Eagles take, whether they trade up in the 20s or they get at 32, because you know, now that he said that, you know the first question he's getting tonight or whenever he talks to the media is, okay, Howie, was this one of the guys you had a first round grade on?
Absolutely.
And no matter who they take at 32, I mean, you know, maybe not, but I tend to think that they'll say, yeah, this is actually kind of like Cooper DeJean last year. This is one of the guys that we had a first-round grade on. And by the way, that makes sense because you talk to people. There's a consensus on like who the top five guys are. After that, there are guys that could get drafted at 12 or 40. There's that much of a difference depending on what teams need, what they think of these guys. And so think about it logically. Because of that, the first 32 teams, at least, are going to be able to say, we had a first-round grade on the guy. We can't believe he was there. Yeah, because your board's different than other people's boards.
Let me ask you this. Okay, go ahead, John.
I have this is a just a different level, a weird idea. The NIL stuff, these guys are getting money way before guys used to get money. You know, these guys are getting paid now at the moment that they get to college.
Some of them are millionaires already.
Millionaires. We're talking, you know, like even I was talking to a guy who coaches. Even I, Russ, would have gotten paid big time had I played under NIL as a fullback. So doesn't that change the way that teams have to go about this whole process now? Like, I can't even imagine. That the college coaches, the way that they have to bend over backwards for these kids in the recruiting process. Now it's almost like professional teams have to do that same thing with guys who are kind of spoiled already because of NIL. What kind of complications has that created in the whole NFL draft process?
It's the exact opposite.
Wow.
It's a great thing for the NFL teams because it enables them to identify while these guys are still in college who really loves football and who loves the things that come along with football. Mm. There are guys that because they've gotten so much NIL money, mm-hmm. they've kind of like they kind of think they've made it, and they kind of act like they've made it, and some of them end up dropping. They don't have as good as senior years or juniors, mm. whatever, and so teams have to try to figure out, okay, is it because this guy already knew he was going to go pro?
Yeah.
Is it just, you know, he's a young kid? But I think, you know, there are guys that get whatever the money is, 500 grand, 800 grand, whatever it is, and it just motivates them more. They just work harder. It
wow.
actually,
great.
Because when they're in college before and they all have $0 unless they play in the SEC, okay, the way it used to be, all right, you really didn't know,
uh-huh.
you know, if – what the true motivation was. Do they really, really love the sport, or do they love what they think the sport can give them? All these teams are trying to draft guys that A, love football, and B, realize that getting drafted is the start, not the end. For a lot of these kids, they've dreamt their whole life of getting drafted. They get drafted, they get good money, they think they've made it, and that is, you know what it's like, John. You have to make it every day. Like, yeah. and some kids, the kids that don't get that are not going to be able to figure it out. And because of some of the decisions these kids and their parents have made with, I'm going to go to this school for more money. You're going to do this. It's actually given the NFL teams some clarity into the character of these kids.
That's fascinating. Really is.
Really is.
Ross, give us a couple names you want to see the Eagles. Who's someone you want them to get in the first round? A few options. If they get them, people should be happy. Who are they?
All right. So this is – I am on a different wavelength than a lot of the people out there, Joe.
Okay.
Everybody else I read, it's D-tackle, D-end, D-tackle, D-end, maybe O-line, probably trade up into the 20s. Because the depth is so good along the defensive line – because, you know, I have these guys, Todd McShay and whoever, come on my show, the Ross Tucker Podcast, and tell me that they have starter grades on 35 D tackles. And they think 35 D tackles will go in the first three rounds. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Eagles get a D tackle and maybe an edge guy in round two or round three, or maybe they trade down and do that. But I think that there's a very real possibility that a starting caliber player that the Eagles were not expecting to see on the board falls to them at 32 and the Eagles pounce. Is that Malachi?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Is Starks the safety from Georgia? Is it Jahad Campbell, the linebacker from Alabama? I just think there's going to be a guy that, and maybe two, that fall. I mean, I wouldn't be, it wouldn't blow my mind away if like Mason Taylor, Jason Taylor's son, was there at 32 and the Eagles took him, because it seems pretty clear they're moving on from Goddard. Yeah. So I read all the guys. I know the Eagles' history. I know that everybody thinks D-line and trade up in the 20s. I would not be surprised if one of these guys they're not expecting can come in and start right away for 4 years, and then they can still get D-tackles and D-ends that probably aren't going to start anyway in rounds 2 and 3.
Ross, what about who you don't want? And let me be clear, it's kind of a shame because these guys are good football players, but like, who at 32 that we've talked about do you think would not be a good fit for the Eagles?
Ooh, that's a good question. I am not as high on really any of the offensive linemen as other people seem to be. Like and I think they're good players. I just think, you know, you've been developing Steen for multiple years to get to this point. And we all know how good Stoutland is. Even with guys like Juergens and Dickerson in the second round, I've seen several mocks where the Eagles take an offensive lineman in the first round. I don't think that would be the case. And I have some skepticism of some of the defensive linemen that are being mocked to them. Yeah, I'll give you a name. James Pierce from Tennessee.
Sure, yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody and their brother said he was a top 5, top 10 pick before the year. He's got that kind of physical ability. The same with Walter Nolan. What I would tell you about this is, I'm not saying they shouldn't take these guys, but if it's late 20s and Pierce and or Nolan are there, maybe this is where Big Dom comes into play. Maybe he has a better read on these guys than other people, but these guys have top 10 physical ability. People know it. And so if they're falling and falling, maybe this goes back to John's question about NIL. You know, I mean, I've heard some crazy things about why guys go from one school to another school. I mean, actually hilarious things. I mean, there's a guy, I heard a story about a guy that transferred to another school for $100,000 less because they told him he didn't have to go to class. I mean, like, so, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for him as a prospect, but it's hilarious.
Man.
It just tells you like the mindset of some of these kids. So, I guess I will have some concern if it's like Pierce or Nolan at 32. Which, by the way, I've seen. I think Daniel Jeremiah just did his mock draft, and Walter Nolan didn't go in the first round.
That's right.
Meanwhile, Schrager, who's very good at this stuff, said he'd be shocked if Walter Nolan falls out of the top 15.
Yeah.
So somebody knows more about him as a person than other people.
Right.
Right. We don't know what the Eagles know. I mean, the thing about, like, I'll never get over that the Eagles got Jalen Carter at 9. I'll never get over that. That guy should have been the first pick in the draft.
So someone like Jalen Walker,
an off-ball linebacker who can move up and give you production sacking quarterbacks off the edge at times. Do we have enough room for another off-ball guy if he's versatile like Zach Bond? Zach Bond, who can also get up on the edge of the line of scrimmage and give you some pass rush production. N'Kobe Dean, who is coming back from injury. We know that we've got guys that we like, but is it wise to add another inside backer, even if he's versatile, when you've got guys that you like so much at inside backer already?
Well, yes, it is. First of all, I would be shocked if Jaylen Walker is even in the Eagles' stratosphere. I think he goes top 12, top 15 at the worst. But wow, everything you just said, John, also applies to Jahad Campbell, who, mm-hmm, I mean, I just had a guy on today's Ross Tucker podcast that said he thinks he's a top 5 player in the draft.
Wow.
He has a shoulder injury, okay, which might cause him to drop.
Linebacker who ever played football, by the way.
And I mentioned last time I was on, he's a South Jersey kid, but he's a guy. N'Kobe Dean, guys, suffered a really, really bad injury.
That's right.
I mean, and that was in the playoffs. So I think you kind of got to go into this year with almost like, hey, maybe we'll have him for the second half of the year. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll have him for the playoffs. But whatever you get from him is gravy. So you're looking at right now starting Jeremiah Trotter Jr., which he may or may not be a starting caliber player in the NFL. We don't know that. And by the way, what happens if he gets hurt? Or what happens if something happens to Bond? I think an off-the-ball linebacker.
Ross. It's Dallas Gant.
I think, John, Jahad Campbell or linebacker is very much in play because they realized last year just how important that position is, especially in Fangio's defense.
So, Ross, a whole nother aspect of the defense I find fascinating and really under-discussed is whether Cooper DeJean is going to move outside next year when NFL teams have only two wide receivers on the field. Like, is he the guy that plays 100% of the snaps, or is he just the slot guy when three and four receivers are on the field? So let's drill down on this, Ross.
He moves outside.
So, Ross, here's my question to you. Do you trust Cooper outside? Do you trust the combination of Adoree Jackson, Eli Ricks, and Kelee Ringo outside? Or are the Eagles maybe drafting a corner in the first or second round?
I don't think they're going to draft a corner in the first or second round, but it's not – I mean, they lost three guys. They lost Darius Slay, Isaiah Rodgers, and Avante Maddox, so it's not outside the realm of possibility.
Yep.
I do not think DeJean is going to move outside.
I don't either.
I am in the minority here. I'll tell you why, okay? First of all, they love him in the nickel. It is a critically important position, and after he got in the lineup last year – guys, they were like 98% nickel anyway. So for 2% of the snaps, you think you need to move him out there? That just doesn't make sense to me. For 2% of the snaps, Fangio loves him. They love being in nickel. He can give them enough in run support that they can stay nickel even if there are only two receivers for the other team. I don't think it makes sense to have him have to deal with that, play essentially a different position. You've been developing Ringo for a reason. They always bring a guy like Adoree Jackson in because he then gives them the veteran floor, whereas Ringo gives them the ceiling. I've seen that written everywhere. He'll be outside. They're not going. I don't think they're going to move him outside.
I totally agree.
2 to 4% of the snaps.
Hey, I totally agree, and he's such a great tackler inside. It's almost like having a safety or a linebacker in the box because
well, that's exactly right. Yeah. It depends on whether they feel like having Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean or whoever the other linebacker is gives them better leverage or size or whatever coverage.
And he's more of an inside
for that specific personnel grouping the offense provides.
Yeah, and John, he's more of an inside guy than an outside guy. You know, there's a reason why he didn't go till pick 40 or wherever it was. There was a little bit of stiffness coming in out of his brakes and his back pedal when he was purely an outside corner at Iowa. The reason why he's so good is because he's so smart, because he's so instinctive, and that lends itself more to inside at nickel.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, Ross, I really wonder if outside corner is more in play early than we've credence to, because, you know, like, are they really going to take a guy like, you know, Ringo, who was their fifth corner last year, and make him one of their top three? But I don't know. Maybe.
But again,
maybe not.
The point is, like, you've got, well.
Maybe not, guys.
Can I tell, yeah, Joe, can I tell you a quick crazy draft day story?
Go for it.
Okay, I saw on Devin's social media this morning that the Eagles 5 years ago tonight took a guy named Jalen Hurts in the second round.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you guys talked about this yet.
We did, yeah.
The Eagles were doing, you know, that's when the Eagles were doing draft programming. And so I was part of that. They didn't do it last year. They're not doing it this year. That was the COVID year. So I want you to picture I'm in my house, okay? And you can't have the sound on the TV because it's way behind, right? And I have a thing in my ear, and we hear them say, the Eagles just took Jalen Hurts, quarterback, Oklahoma. And then they're counting down 8, 7, 6, 5. And I can't remember the name of the young lady, but she's like, all right, Ross, the Eagles just took Jalen Hurts. What do you think? I'm live on Eagles.com. I had no idea what to say. In my head was, I have no idea why they just did this. This is the worst pick ever. But so, of course, yeah, I can't say that, right? So I'm thinking, I said, well, listen, the Eagles highly prioritized the backup quarterback. They had just paid Carson. I was like, the Eagles highly prioritized the backup quarterback position. This enables them to save money, blah, blah, blah. But it's funny because that story actually goes full circle to your first question, Joe, which is that the Eagles, more than any other team, they are looking 2 and 3 years ahead. Nobody thought the Hurts pick was a good pick.
Well, I actually did, but most didn't. James, what would be 2 to 3 years from now a position they could draft tonight in the first round?
Like, looking ahead, you're saying? I mean,
running back?
No, they're not going to take
receiver.
I mean,
receiver.
That's a great call by Ross. Yeah. Because, I mean, AJ and Devontae are paid. Are they going to get a whole nother group of contracts after that?
Yeah, I don't know.
They just declined John Dotson's fifth-year option.
Left tackle.
Well, tackle, sure. Period.
Yeah, tackle. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those are, yeah. I mean, I guess if we're really expanding the horizons, it would be wide receiver or offensive tackle. Yeah. All right, Ross, outstanding work, man. Obviously, we'll get you on next week, to say the least. Reaction on all this. We love having you on. Everyone follow Ross on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. You can see all the multimedia things this multimedia star is involved in. Thanks, Ross. Good work, man.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Good stuff, Ross. Man. Hey, let me remind everyone, we got big, big, big coverage tonight here on WIP. No Phillies game, which obviously for our station makes it easier to have wall-to-wall draft coverage, which I'm going to declare NFL draft pregame starts right now. Draft pregame show starts right now, but it really continues with the real draft show tonight at 6 o'clock. Part of that show, and it's going to be a minimum 6 hours, probably a little over, because the Eagles pick is going to be around midnight. So the guys are going to stay on
long,
you know,
night coming, guys.
Long night. So it's going to be like a 6+ hour show. The show will include, and not everyone's doing all 6 hours, but in various parts, Rob Ellis, Ike, Fritz, Hugh, Gilio, and Elliot. And then Hunter Brody after midnight, you know, draft coverage reaction. The Eagles picked the whole deal. So, Seltzer, what's your favorite draft moment ever?
I mean, I think the Vikings getting passed over is the first one that always popped. Because it was so crazy, because they talk about it every year. Oh, if you don't make your pick in time, right, the next team's allowed to pick. It's like, okay, sure. To actually see it play out and see these teams running up with their picks, like, that was just so wild.
That was wild. I was at one draft. It was the draft Michael Vick was drafted at. And I remember I think that was Deuce McAllister, and he got taken 2 in front of Freddie Mitchell. And so Deuce McAllister wasn't on the board. I wanted him. I remember back, and I loved Ben Smith in the early 90s, loved him. But I remember in the approach to Ben Smith, Emmitt Smith was still available till I think maybe 2 or 3 picks before Ben Smith. And I wanted Emmitt Smith. How history could have been different.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy. Eagles could have won a Super Bowl if they had Emmitt Smith. You know, add him to that defense and Randall and that whole deal.
I was pretending that I was hard of hearing with a kid at Blockbuster. This is wrong, actually. I think this is the first time I've ever admitted this. I was trying to not donate to the kid who was asking for money.
During the draft?
This was, no, again, this was the second round just ended, and I left the house to go to Blockbuster because we didn't have the draft on. We could not get the draft anymore. Like, I was in the draft. I could not see whether I was getting drafted or
ESPN
not.
ESPN and the NFL Network have expanded their coverage.
ESPN, right. We didn't have anything other than just the standard ESPN.
Oh, so maybe it was on ESPN 2.
I think it went to ESPN 2, and we were college students. We didn't have that package or whatever. Yep. We had the bare bones package. So I didn't have the beginning of the third round on, or even the capability to watch it. So I drove to Blockbuster, and the kid was asking me for money the moment I pulled into the driveway. So now I'm just trying to figure out a way to not communicate. I'm feigning deafness, and my new cell phone rings. Clearly, I'm not deaf because now I'm talking on the new phone.
What kind of cell phone was it?
To a woman who says, "Coach Gruden, can't wait to talk to you." And I'm thinking, which one of my friends is messing with me? Because I have no idea who this could be.
You should have told the kid, hey, kid, shut up. I'm being drafted right now in the NFL draft.
I still didn't think I was being drafted.
That's pretty cool, man. I love it.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.